scopes. I'll give you that real briefly. How to make this star more money. It's very easy. People were unsurprisingly surprised at how little this person is going to make. But there's very, very obvious reasons. Big national news when it comes to people and their jobs and looking for new ones, because I've got a lot of insight with that because they've always been a part of my career. And a couple of local things real fast. First, yes, An endoscopy or an endoscope. It's probably easier to say it that way. And that's actually the reason for this nonsense. You might have recalled that I've been complaining about my stomach and digestion and digestive issues since December, like on and off. I have not had coffee in 6 weeks. And to be, you know what? The first 2 days sucked, but after that, it's been fine. I'm good to go. I do miss the experience of drinking it. Why don't you do tea? I have done tea sometimes, but you know what? I'd rather just get up and go to the gym. But while I'm down and out, and I think because I'm of age and it's free, do the colonoscopy too. I had one a long, long time ago when my hypochondria was getting the best of me. So I have to do the prep for that tonight. All I've had to eat today is it's so weird. And it even says water ice on the list. I'm on the clear diet right now. So I can have hard candy. I have Halls next to me and some like hard lemon candy thing. And I got popsicles and water. It said water ice, which is weird because nobody here knows what water ice is. You would call it Italian ice. I used to have both all the time when I was a kid at camp. They would give us like these Italian ice water ice cups that you'd scrape at with a wooden thing to get it out. So delicious. It was good to have that today. More filling than I thought. And if you've ever had a colonoscopy, like I got to clean everything out tonight. What my friend said, a night of 1,000 flushes. I also drink an inordinate amount of water through the day. So I will just sleep on the toilet tonight. My one fear, and I think I can tell that my the higher dosage of Trintellix is working. I've been in better spirits this week. I've been able to better fend off bullshit and not have such a short fuse or like, why is this happening to me? When just an email comes across, I went from 5 to 10 milligrams of the Trintellix. A friend of mine told me yesterday when I mentioned that I was getting the scope, he's like, oh, I had a cancer scare. And I was like, Barrett's esophagus? So I guess Barrett's esophagus is something that happens to your esophagus, and it could potentially lead to cancer. And I was a little concerned in the moment, not for the cancer, but because of how I might have to cut back on things that I enjoy. My weekend binges of pizza and alcohol. I do like spicy foods, like the marinades I use in my chicken and my chips and salsa. So I'm looking at this one of two ways. I don't want that to be there because that's bad. And like, I don't do too much of any of that anyway. I certainly don't smoke or drugs or anything like that. Maybe, and it's not in my genes anywhere in my family. So that would be quite a surprise. But I would also like to have an answer as to why my acid reflux has been so persistent and immune to all the medications. So I don't know. Maybe they might just chalk it up to this sliding hiatal hernia. And if I ever want to drink coffee again, maybe they'll have to take it out. So the point is, wasn't very anxious after my friend and I had a quick chat yesterday. It was peak anxiety for 90 seconds, and then I settled back down. Full transparency, I've never been there. For no other reason than I just never went. But I have sent people there, and they have thanked me for sending them there. Pho Vietnam. What? There are still some people who don't know what pho is, even though I think it's become quite popular in the last 15 years. I first enjoyed it, had it when I was living and working back in Allentown, and my crew there was like, hey, do you want pho? It's our pho day. What? And they explained it to me, and I got a styrofoam cup that was at least 20 ounces, and it was noodles and super broth. And then after I found out, like 3 weeks worth of sodium, but damn, it was delicious. So that's my description of pho. So I've never been to Pho Vietnam, which apparently we can't do anymore because they're closed. It is on Upton. It's not in the best neighborhood, but it has character. There is a je ne sais quoi about it. It is an experience. And I bring this up, not because they closed, but because on the Toledo Reddit page, somebody grabbed, I guess, the blade or if 13 does the restaurant inspections. And this is excoriating. Employees were not properly trained in food safety, including food allergy awareness. The person in charge could not explain the relationship between safe food temperatures and foodborne illness prevention and did not ensure employees maintained safe temperatures for hot and cold. And there's another 100, 150 words that go on in that same direction. I don't know what was actually right. I didn't see in the review like what they did well. It might not have been anything. So I know that that's like kind of part of the experience there. And I know that's not great. People could get sick. It'll build up the stomach acid to fight off worse things. But from what I know is, you went to this place to be berated by the little old lady that ran it, and then the good pho was just a bonus. And again, as much as I've never been there, that story has been said back to me, and when I have told people, like, just be nice to the lady because you don't want to get thrown out. It's soup Nazi kind of stuff. But it appears pho Vietnam is now closed. The rec center that's on the opposite side of the river on Summit from Glass City Metro Park. Metro Parks bought this unused building that was just sitting there, I think close by the water, and it's going to be a rec center. It's going to be open sooner than I expected. They're hoping October or November. I'm assuming with the caveat, if all goes right. Toledo Pickle is going to help run the activities there. There will also be boat dockings there from, I think, the people that bought the Sandpiper. So they'll be working on that. They envision, obviously, I still have yet to meet anybody. I don't even see it online, people talking about playing pickleball. I've never met a person. I know it's very popular. I'm not discounting that at all. But Toledo Pickle is going to do indoor-outdoor pickleball, small concerts, birthday parties, cornhole, table tennis, board games, a climbing wall, an upscale restaurant, and other features. So looks like a really, really good time. A nice sister playland to Glass City Metro Park when that's not as usable in the winter months. So that's going to be a really good time as things. Now, they say that's North Toledo. And I guess maybe it is. I mean, does North Toledo start when you get past Cherry or LaGrange? To me, I just say that's just outside of downtown, which it is. The games now are the ones that matter. As long as you get to now, you're good. The Walleye had a losing record against the Kalamazoo Wings in the regular season. That has to be one of the few teams they had a losing record against. And they've now won 17 games in a row, three in the playoffs against Kalamazoo. They beat Kalamazoo last night, I believe 6-2. They're getting great goaltending. Brandon Hawkins is doing his MVP thing, 7 points in three games. And if they win tomorrow night, they will have swept the series and they will get some extra rest before hosting the first two games in the next round of the playoffs. I have not looked to see if they go deeper, which I would assume after that might be the conference finals, if they'd have home ice advantage there. But they will once they take care of the Wings, not to jinx anything, but it is incredibly hard to come back from three games down. And the first two games were close. Last night was not. So let's hope the Fish, I don't know, unless you want a hockey game here Saturday night. Because if they lose tomorrow, Huntington Center, Saturday night, Walleye game 5. You may have seen in the news, it's a pretty big story, that I think the FTC is going to attempt to do away with non-competes Now, it may or may not get through all the legal hurdles it has to, but I can see it going away. What is a non-compete? A non-compete is something that you sign as an employee that when you depart, whether on your own volition or they fire you, you cannot go work. If you work at McDonald's, you can't go work at Burger King. Or if you work in one media place, you can't go work in another media place. And again, if you leave on your own volition or even if they kick you out. Now, I think the basis of this when they began was to prevent people from taking secret, proprietary company info to other places, almost in a corporate spying type of way. You go get a job at a place, you find out all their secrets, and then you take them back to where you were actually working for. Which, sure, non-competes makes a lot of sense, but they became more widespread. In fact, I've had a non-compete since I have worked full-time in radio, which has now been since 2002, so 22 years. The 4 years before that was all part-time. I've had to sign a non-compete. So if I worked at one radio station and got fired or left, I could not go to another one in the immediate geographic area. Sometimes they were written so rigidly that they, if they wanted to enforce them, and this has never happened to me, but they could with the way the language was written. All of my contracts have been written for the benefit of the company, not me. It is extremely one-sided. It doesn't keep me employed. I can't go, well, I have 2 years left on my contract. You can't fire me. They absolutely fucking can, and they have. Some of these contracts that I've seen are written in the sense that, let's say I work for company A, and I can't go work for company B, C, or D in the same market. Okay, if I work for 111 FM, I can't go to another radio station in the market. There are some companies that will say you cannot even leave the market and go work for another company where we have a station. So if the company that owns 111 FM owns a station where I'm going, even if it's 800 miles away, if they wanted to be dicks, they could say, nope, can't work there, sorry. So you could see why these can be problematic. Now, I think they, it in some, for me, it might cause more harm than good if they do go away, because I have used them as a negotiating point. Well, what do you mean? You just said they're one-sided. I had a couple of tiny lanes to go through in my contract negotiations. One of them was, oh, my non-compete 6 months? Okay, well, and so is my severance. Because everywhere I've been let go from, which was Tower 98.3, my station when I worked at my sports talk station in Detroit at the end of 2012, and then, of course, 92.5 here. Every time I've been let go, I had a non-compete, but the length of my severance matched the non-compete. So when I was dispatched from 92.5 here, I had to wait 3 months before I could talk or inquire with Cumulus here. So I was let go like June 7th. So I couldn't do anything until September 7th. Couldn't talk, nothing. I would have broken my agreement and lost my severance. So, and the severance was a good deal too. So with the non-compete was 3 months because they wanted to do 6 months. And I was like, fine, 6 months of severance. 6 months to be out of work is tough. You want to stay in the game. So 3 months. So they brought it down to 3 months. Non-compete 3 months, severance 3 months. So I got paid every cent I would have every 2 weeks for 3 months. I got my full salary for all 3 months. And it obviously worked out well. I am concerned if non-competes do go away, companies might not offer severance anymore. If they do, it might be very nominal or minimal. And if there's nothing at all, you will have to rely upon unemployment, which is, I don't know, like, I think it's 60% of what you make. And it can be challenging to go through the hoops to get unemployment. And again, it's certainly not your full salary. So I'm wondering if it might not be worse off, especially for someone in a position like me, for non-competes to go away. Because if they went away and you want to let go of me, sure, I could go work across the street, but maybe I don't want to. And now I'm not getting that severance, that full pay. full pay. People were surprised at what Caitlin Clark was being paid on her rookie contract. I don't think it was much. In fact, I think the top NBA, WNBA earner is like 250 grand. Even that might be wrong. The one thing I saw buzzing around, which is probably accurate, Caitlin Clark will make less than three NBA mascots. Now, I'm not going to talk to you like you're stupid. So we'll just leave it at the WNBA makes a lot more money, like billions, than the NBA makes billions more than the WNBA. As I said before, I hope Caitlin Clark is the Michael Jordan, the Larry Bird, the Magic Johnson that turns that league into something people watch when it comes on. Caitlin Clark, I think, got a $28 million deal with Nike, so she's going to be okay. Nike believes in her, that she will continue the excitement and euphoria and interest in her following from March Madness in Iowa to the WNBA. Again, maybe they gave her that deal. Maybe in those Nike offices, they were listening to this podcast and like, Eric's right. We signed Jordan. Caitlin will be our Michael Jordan. I'm not fucking kidding at all. Only about the listening to my podcast part. So she'll be okay. She will be able to pay her rent and whatever else. But I can tell you, you know who doesn't want Caitlin Clark to make more money on this first deal? Other women who have been in the league for like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Now, everybody in that league wants to make more money. And Caitlin Clark will have a Tiger Woods effect. Tiger Woods made a lot of people in golf a lot more money. The saying is the rising tide raises all ships. Had Tiger Woods not existed, golfers would have made what they made. But Tiger Woods came along and brought all those eyeballs, all that interest from people who didn't watch golf. And that raised the amount of money people could win in golf tournaments. So even if Tiger didn't win, there were so much more advertising, sponsorship dollars, interest, ticket fees in the prize. What might have only been 50 grand before was now 150 grand because Tiger was on the tour in that tournament and you won. So thank you, Tiger. A lot of the people that want to kick Caitlin Clark's ass in the WNBA, her older veteran peers, will thank her at some point, hopefully if they're still in the league, because they will be able to make the money that she has brought interest to in the league. But I saw it was like Diana Taurasi and Elena Deladon and some other women who they're like, yeah, we want Caitlin to make money. We all want to make money. But she's going to have a welcome to the WNBA moment where she comes down the lane hard and just like some rookie in the WNBA gets a hard foul. And it's like, hey, girl, we don't care what you did at Iowa. We don't care how good you're going to be. Welcome to the WNBA. You've got to pay your dues. And that's with bruises and bumps. Take your foul shots. But ultimately, they do want her to raise the interest level in the league, which again, as I've said from since I saw what she was doing in March Madness, Women's March Madness, which if there's not a bracket for that on ESPN and every other site next year, it's a big miss. Like, there are brackets everywhere. There better have been a bracket for the women's NCAA tournament this past year. If not, you just lost a lot of money and a lot of interest. By the way, adding a bracket to anything makes things more interesting. So, I think, what, like 37 of the Indiana Fever games? Yeah, there we go. Will be televised easily next year, which I'm assuming is ABC or WNBA. ABC or ESPN. I believe the league goes from the like June to late fall. It's in the empty period of the NBA. And I get it. It's not, people don't watch a lot of TV in the summertime. That's why, you know, network shows are off. But it will be easy to find Caitlin Clark. I think the number was she has 37 games on national TV, and whoever won the WNBA championship last year will have less games than that. This is how it works. People want to turn on and see Caitlin Clark. It might be very much like Tiger Woods. There might be people that despise her on the New York Liberty, the LA Sparks, because people just want to see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. They'll be like a traveling Tiger Woods. I would say Shohei Ohtani, but that might not ring with you at all. But like some otherworldly, like literally some outer space freak that the average person wants to go see. I think her jerseys sold out. What was it? Something along the lines of she sold more jerseys during or around her getting drafted than the Cowboys sold all year. Now, look, I'm not trying to smack down women, but I'm just trying to Everybody who has a Dak Prescott jersey has one. There were no new. Everybody that had that wanted a CeeDee Lamb jersey has one. There was no There's no new Cowboys jerseys. But still, Caitlin Clark is breaking all kinds of records off the court, and there might be some women players in the league that are jealous of her and dislike her because of all the attention she's getting. They'll have to step back and go and put their selfishness aside, which I get it. It sucks. But Caitlin Clark will get everybody paid more in the WNBA before long. One last thing. I wrapped up Shogun on FX. I did not like it as much as all the reviews that were raving about it. In fact, I liked the score most. When the score hit is when I was most in tune to the show. And I explained to our friend Josh, I finally, after the, maybe right before the last episode, and I'm not going to spoil anything, I figured out why I couldn't get into it. It was one of these epic shows, like Game of Thrones, a period piece, all that stuff. It was very slow for me. There was not many battles. It was a lot of dialogue. It was, as somebody might have put, it was like Succession, but with people holding samurai swords on their belt. And I guess it's loosely based on the first ever Englishman to touch down in Japan and how the Portuguese brought Christianity there. So, little history lesson. And the lead actor has been in the Avengers. I think he was in Westworld. He is like the go-to when you need an older Asian fella because he's extremely good, extremely talented. He's a great watch. I forget his name. I couldn't get into it because the subtitles, but also with the subtitles, because of the nature of the Japanese culture, which is very reserved and stoic, I couldn't form a connection with any of the characters. Like, there was no Littlefinger who you wanted to fall off a cliff. There was one guy who was, he had questionable allegiances and questionable loyalties. It was hard to keep track of him. He was almost like, he was kind of like the comic relief. He kind of asked all the questions that the audience would. And I don't, there's a Hollywood or there's a cinema term for that, and I don't know what it is, and it's not exposition. But these characters, except for the one English guy, one guy that spoke English most of the time, the Englishman, they weren't very charismatic, reserved, stoic, peaceful, calm. So without that, I couldn't form a tie to any of the characters, like hating Littlefinger or wanting Logan Roy to just finally die already, or to root for Kendall because of a variety of reasons. You feel it's like he's getting a raw deal. I want this guy to win. Like, there was nobody on that show that I could connect to. Many people have loved this show, and I'll spoil it in a sense, or maybe I'll push you to it in a sense. It's only one season. I did not know that. I expected multiple seasons, as you would with many of these shows, but this is like a 1,200-page book, novel, and they fit it all into one season. Thank God, because I could not imagine this show being dragged out at the pace that I had a hard time with over multiple seasons. Sugar is good on Apple Plus or on Apple TV, whatever you want to call it. It is a lot like, it's the noir LA show, detective cop stuff like Bosch that I've enjoyed for almost a decade now on Prime. I love watching Colin Farrell act. There's Ryan Reynolds and there's Colin Farrell. He is up there on the hot meter. Also on Apple Plus, Michael Douglas plays Ben Franklin. It's called Franklin, and there's a very quirky intro to it. You should watch that if you're still here listening to the podcast. And it all takes place in France. Ben Franklin trying to create the alliance with the French to fight in the American Revolution against the British. And you know what? In 250 years, people are going to make fun of the way you and I look. But I cannot help but laugh at the way the French and many other cultures, many other Anglo cultures, looked. The dress I get. But the wigs, you look fucking ridiculous. The powdered faces, you look fucking ridiculous. Like I said, in 250 years, we're going to be made fun of for how we look. I know that was the aristocratic look, so you did not look like a commoner. I think 250 years later, I think you look like a clown.